Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 17th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Liz Cheney loses her House seat as two states vote in primary elections.
Traders ready for minutes from the Fed and retail sales data.
China issues a warning to the U.S. over Taiwan.
And oil dips as we weigh the prospects of a renewed nuclear deal with Iran.
New York City schools abandon COVID health screenings and PCR tests. Plus, Rudy Giuliani will testify today before a grand jury in Georgia. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. The Yankees slump continued. The bats again quiet. No home loss to Tampa Bay, and the Mets got shut out in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 17 points, Dow futures down 89, and NASDAQ futures down 75. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 17/32nds, yield 2.86%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.29%. John.
And Karen, we're going to have more on the markets in a moment. But first, we're going to begin with politics. Republican Representative Liz Cheney has lost her primary in Wyoming, while former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is staging a political comeback. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris has details from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Cheney lost to lawyer Harriet Hageman, who had been backed by Donald Trump. Cheney voted to impeach Trump and is co-chair of the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. She warned her supporters about the future of the Republican Party and the country.
If we do not condemn the conspiracies and the lies, if we do not hold those responsible to account, we will be excusing this conduct, and it will become a feature of all elections. America will never be the same.
In Alaska, party primaries were replaced with open primaries. The top four vote-getters in each race advances to the general election in November. Sarah Palin was among the candidates to advance in the House race. Senator Lisa Murkowski and challenger Kelly Shibaka earned two of the slots in the Senate race. Results are still being tabulated to determine the final two slots. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. While sticking with politics, President Biden has signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law. He's hailing the landmark bill addressing tax, climate, and health policy.
I'm keeping my campaign commitment. No one, let me emphasize, no one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay a penny more in federal taxes.
President Biden signed the law with no GOP support from both chambers of Congress. Republican Congressman Adrian Smith of Nebraska discussed the bill's impact on the deficit late yesterday on Bloomberg Radio.
It's important that the president understand we cannot just continue without making any changes whatsoever, continue in the direction of this spending that I think has been very problematic. The American people expect us to get that under control.
And Nebraska Republican Congressman Adrian Smith made the comments on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And Karen, to markets now, where the S&P 500 posted a small gain yesterday. Earnings from Walmart and Home Depot boosted sentiment. Today we're going to be watching minutes from the Federal Reserve, which will test bets on a pivot towards slower rate hikes. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Mike McKee.
After two moves of 0.75%, the size of the Fed's next rate increase is an open question. Investors may find some clues in the minutes of their last meeting. Those minutes likely won't settle the question, but they could indicate what kind of data officials would need to see to favor another unusually large increase. With Chairman Jay Powell expected to speak at the Kansas City Fed's Jackson Hole Conference a week from Friday, any post-minutes market move may be short-lived. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. Well, those minutes come around 2 p.m. Wall Street time. But this morning, it's all about the consumer. We get data on U.S. retail sales for July at 8:30. MasterCard Advisors Chief Economist Michelle Meyer expects another gain.
The surveys have shown that consumers are worried. They're trying to plan ahead. They're trying to think about how to navigate this economic environment. But in the interim, they are still outspending.
Michelle Meyer at MasterCard Advisors remains bullish on U.S. spending. Economists predict a gain of just 0.1% for July retail sales. Stay tuned for complete coverage and analysis of the data coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance.
And when it comes to earnings, it's also about retail today. Karen, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports that Target will deliver its earnings report this morning.
Target made a strategic decision to rapidly liquidate much of its excess inventory. The second quarter results will indicate whether that was a good move and whether further markdowns are needed. Bloomberg Intelligence says Target may have continued to outpace its peers when it comes to store traffic. The chain has sought to be surgical in raising prices to protect the perception of value and maintain customer loyalty. BI says that may also have weighed on gross margin. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And a day after Home Depot beat estimates, we're expected to get earnings from home improvement retailer Lowe's today.
And turning to commodities now, John, oil continues to drop as traders weigh the prospects of a few key geopolitical factors. Right now, West Texas crude is up 0.4% or 36 cents at $86.89 a barrel. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. WTI futures dropped more than 3% yesterday, closing below $87 a barrel. They're also lower this morning as talks between Iran and the European Union signal progress toward a renewed nuclear deal that could open the door to crude shipments from the Islamic Republic. Owanda Market Analysis says the potential for a deal creates a two-way risk for the price of oil. But the primary driver of the current weakness is the threat of a global recession and coronavirus lockdowns in China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And in the UK today, data shows the inflation accelerating yet again. Consumer prices rose by double digits in July, an annual pace of 10.1%. Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden in London says rising food prices are adding to the squeeze on UK consumers.
Food was actually the biggest contributor, which means that the poorest households are going to be hit the hardest. But it is also broad-based. Recreation and culture were the next biggest contributors. And that's worrying for the Bank of England because it indicates that this is going to last longer.
Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden says traders are now ramping up bets that the Bank of England will raise rates by 50 basis points come September. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. Sir, Rudy Giuliani is scheduled to appear today in an Atlanta courthouse to testify before a special grand jury in an investigation into possible illegal attempts to influence the 2020 election in Georgia. The former New York mayor and attorney for former President Donald Trump is the target of the investigation. Any questioning will take place behind closed doors. Nonprofits and New York City social services say they've been stretched thin trying to accommodate asylum seekers and migrants who often are bussed in unannounced and in unknown numbers from Texas and Arizona. Catholic Charities executives say they're working with families to provide essentials and more. Timothy Cardinal Dolan.
It dawns on me, these just aren't cases, these just aren't problems, these just aren't statistics, these are not just refugees and asylum seekers in the plural, these are people with names.
Cardinal Dolan, as New York City officials estimate, around 2,800 migrants have been transported recently into the city from border towns. The New York City Department of Education is relaxing COVID-19 protocols for students and staff ahead of the start of the new school year. According to the guidelines, the district will no longer require daily health screenings to enter school buildings, nor will it conduct in-school PCR surveillance testing. Iranian officials have confirmed that they have submitted a written response to the latest EU draft to revive the nuclear deal. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the U.S. is watching closely.
Bloomberg sources are saying that it may ask for a couple of adjustments in the pact, to which U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price says there is a red line.
We are committed. President Biden has made a solemn commitment that Iran will never obtain a nuclear weapon. That in its own right is something that redounds to our national security.
But Price says the U.S. will go through the response with hopes of a deal. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Opening statements are scheduled to begin today in the latest federal trial for singer R. Kelly in Chicago. He is accused of enticing minors for sex, producing child pornography, and fixing his 2008 state child porn trial, at which he was acquitted. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Jump.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:10 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. Tough start to the week for New York baseball. The night after the Yankees and Mets lost games by a combined 17-1, they lost by a combined 8-1 for the Yankees. The tailspin continues. 11 losses in the last 13 games, going further back, just 11 wins in 33 games, assured of losing a fifth consecutive series. Aaron Boone's team lost to Tampa Bay 3-1.
You can't let the frustration get in your way of preparing and, getting ready to go every night. We got a few guys that are in a rut. We gotta prepare and get ready and fight our way out of it. It's part of it. And, it's no fun when you're going through it, but that's where we are right now.
The Yanks have scored one run over the last three games, and the Mets in two games in Atlanta have only scored one. Shut out by the Braves, 5-0. Atlanta's eighth win in a row since losing 4-5 to the Mets at Citi Field, and that Met division lead over the Braves is down to 3.5. The good news for the Mets, Max Scherzer pitches tonight, Jacob deGrom tomorrow. Good news for the Jets, Zach Wilson's knee surgery went well. No additional damage was found. It's still likely Wilson will miss the season opener, which would mean veteran Joe Flacco would face his old team, the Baltimore Ravens. In the Giants preseason opener, their veteran backup QB Tyrod Taylor looked good. And Coach Brian Daboll said Taylor will now get some reps with the first team, but he downplayed any significance to that, said Daniel Jones is the starter. The Athletic reports trade talks are again heating up between the Knicks and Utah Jazz for a deal that would bring all-star Donovan Mitchell to New York. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now are in the red as traders await minutes from the Federal Reserve's last meeting. Dow futures right now 80 points lower. That's down 0.2%. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 16. And the NASDAQ futures right now are 64 points lower. This is Bloomberg. At Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Partial sunshine. Could see an isolated shower this morning. Highs 75 to 80. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs 85.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling as concerns over the Federal Reserve's aggressive rate hike path outweigh robust corporate earnings and China's stimulus plans. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 89, and NASDAQ futures down 71. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 15/32nds. Yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.29%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $86.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed as well at $17.88.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0175 against the dollar. British pound 1.2107. The yen 134.69. And Bitcoin this morning is down 0.6% at $23,800. Today we are watching for a report on July retail sales at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 2 is the minutes from the Fed's latest meeting. And Target and Lowe's are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney, Donald Trump's fiercest Republican adversary in Congress, has been defeated in a GOP primary. She fell Tuesday to Harriet Hageman, a rival backed by the former president, 66% to 23%. President Joe Biden signed a sweeping tax, climate, and health care measure into law. The measure, known as the Inflation Reduction Act, would also cap and lower the price of medicines for seniors. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox and Orioles won. The Nationals lost. The A's and Giants won.
Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, as you heard, Republican Representative Liz Cheney called on Americans to unite across party lines to keep Donald Trump from winning the White House again following her crushing defeat. Let's take a closer look at the results of Tuesday's primary now. We're joined by Julie Norma, University College London professor. Julie, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. Is Cheney's loss all because she refused to bow down to Donald Trump? And what does this signal to other Republicans in the party?
Oh, well, absolutely, John. I mean, Cheney obviously has a long history in the state from both her own accomplishments and her father. She won her last primary by over 70%. And so this is not just a loss, but a crushing one by probably over 35 points when everything is tallied. And this is not just because of her impeachment vote against Trump, but her really being the face of opposition to Trump within the Republican Party. Co-chairing the January 6th hearing, being very outspoken throughout her campaign that she saw her role as really pushing back at Trump and preventing him from holding office again and challenging what she sees as U.S. democracy. And so she really took a strong stance against him. And really from the start, Trump and his team targeted her very early. It was a very aggressive campaign against her. And unfortunately, it worked in Wyoming for Cheney and by this big loss.
What next for Liz Cheney?
Well, it'll be interesting. So her speech was a very impassioned speech and suggested that this certainly wasn't the end. Some are asking if she'll be considering a 2024 presidential run, even though many believe it would be very difficult for her to succeed in a GOP primary. That is something that potentially might be on the table. But right now, her focus seems to be on doing everything she can, again, to push back against this popularity of Trump within the party and his potential run in 2024. So we'll see what kind of actions that that results in for her.
Trump called her loss a complete rebuke of the January 6th committee. I wonder, from your perspective, is it a complete rebuke? And also, is the January 6th committee somewhat diminished without Liz Cheney, or at least with the lame duck until next year?
Sure. So I would say the committee obviously has known that Cheney was likely to lose this primary. That was almost a given. And they were essentially planning to wrap up their work as much as they can going into this midterm season. So that's one reason we had the hearings this summer. They will probably see the final report sometime in September. So that timeline, I think, was pretty understood. In terms of a rebuke to the committee, Wyoming itself went for Trump by over 40 points in 2020. So it's a very heavy pro-Trump state. I think the January 6th committee, where it makes inroads with Republicans, will be in other areas, say, suburbs in Virginia, these kinds of places where voters are a bit more receptive to its messaging. But a state like Wyoming, that's probably not where it's going to get the biggest traction to begin with.
All right, let's switch to Alaska. Lisa Murkowski had a narrow lead over the Trump-backed challenger. She, of course, was one of the seven GOP senators who voted to convict him in the impeachment trial following the riot at the U.S. Capitol. Your thoughts about the race in Alaska?
Yeah, so the Alaska race is interesting as much about process as well as the results. So it was an important race for Murkowski yesterday as the only senator who voted against Trump in the impeachment hearings who is up for re-election this year. So the fact that she does seem to be holding her lead is notable. But Alaska has a really interesting system this year where they are doing an all-party open primary where the top four candidates from all parties advance. And then there's going to be a ranked choice system in the general election. So we haven't really seen something like this before in Alaska. It will most likely benefit a more centrist moderate candidate like Murkowski in the generals. So we'll see if that holds. But the primary at least was solid for her. She came out solid and likely 1 or 2 points ahead of her closest challenger.
And Sarah Palin is back. What are your thoughts about her?
Yeah, so Palin is actually kind of in two elections right now in Alaska. One, a special election for an open seat that will be in play through November, and then the actual primary for the November seat. And again, this is a situation with this new Alaska system. So Palin came in solid in both. She polled at about, got about 30% of the percentage in both of those elections. But again, with this ranked choice system, which we won't know the results of till the end of August for that special election, it could tip out of her favor there. So she's definitely still in the game, but this new system may show that that there's some other ways for more centrist moderate candidates to have an edge.
Julie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it this morning. Julie Norman, University of College London professor and head of the cash open on Wall Street. The futures right now in the red. Dow futures down to 87. S&P E-mini futures 17 points lower. And the Nasdaq futures right now down 69 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg weather for today. Partial sun developing. Chance of a shower this morning. High 75 to 80. Tonight clear, low 65 to 70, and part of the mostly sunny tomorrow, the high temperature topping out at about 85 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with politics. Republican Representative Liz Cheney losing her primary in Wyoming to Trump-backed Harriet Hegeman. Cheney voted to impeach former President Trump and co-chairs the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. She says Trump's fanning the flames of violence.
Our nation is barreling once again towards crisis, lawlessness, and violence.
Liz Cheney warned supporters that stolen election rhetoric could become normalized if former President Trump is not held accountable.
And in Alaska, former Governor Sarah Palin advanced to the general election in November for the state's open House seat. And Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Trump-backed challenger Khaled Schwabka earned two of these slots in the Senate race, with results still being tabulated to determine the final two slots.
Well, sticking with politics, John, President Biden has signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law. The landmark bill addresses tax, climate, and health policy. The measure garnered no GOP support from both chambers of Congress.
And to markets now, Karen, where the S&P 500 posted a small gain yesterday. Now, today, markets will be watching minutes from the Fed due out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And U.S. retail sales data for July at 8:30 this morning. Economists predict a gain of just 0.1% for retail sales.
Well, turning to commodities, John, oil's slide continues as traders weigh the prospects of a few key geopolitical factors. Right now, West Texas crude is it's little change at $86.60 a barrel. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. WTI futures dropped more than 3% yesterday, closing below $87 a barrel. They're also lower this morning as talks between Iran and the European Union signal progress toward a renewed nuclear deal that could open the door to crude shipments from the Islamic Republic. Owanda Market Analysis says the potential for a deal creates a two-way risk for the price of oil. But the primary driver of the current weakness is the threat of a global recession and a coronavirus lockdown in China. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks. Overseas in the UK, inflation hit a 40-year high today. The July Consumer Price Index rose 10.1%, and Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden says the data is likely to impact Bank of England policy.
Bloomberg Economics has changed its base case. It now sees 50 basis points in September, following up on that jumbo hike in August.
That's Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden reporting from London, saying rising food prices adding to the squeeze on UK consumers. And that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr with more of what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. Rudy Giuliani, former President Trump's personal attorney, is scheduled to testify today into possible criminal activity surrounding those who tried to overturn the 2020 Georgia election results. The former New York mayor is now the target of an investigation by Georgia prosecutors. Giuliani has pushed back on the investigation and has claimed, without evidence, that Atlanta is a city known for corruption. With New York City officials estimating around 2,800 asylum seekers and migrants have been bused into the city from border towns along Texas and Arizona, nonprofits and city social services say they've been stretched thin trying to accommodate the newcomers. Catholic charities say they're working with families to provide services like scholarships for local schools for families, gift cards for food and other essentials, and more. Cardinal Timothy Dolan.
Our perspective is not the political. Our perspective is not how did we get in this mess. Our perspective is simply to help them, to reach out to them.
Cardinal Timothy Dolan. Iranian officials confirmed this week that they have submitted their written response to the latest EU draft to revive the 2015 nuclear accord. State Department spokesman Ned Price says the U.S. will provide its response to both Iran and the EU's text in private, but says they've been transparent about their ultimate goal to ensure Tehran limits their nuclear program.
We are committed. President Biden has made a solemn commitment that Iran will never obtain a nuclear weapon. That in its own right is something that redounds to our national security.
State Department spokesman Ned Price. The New York City Health Department says the West Nile virus has been detected in two people and a record number of mosquitoes in the city. The department says the two cases are in Brooklyn and Queens. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Now, here's John Stashara.
Thanks, John. The Mets went down to Atlanta flying high, winners of 17 of their last 20 games. They have come back to earth as the Braves have won twice by a combined score of 18-1. Mets had only three hits off Charlie Morton, who struck out 12, and Atlanta's 5-0 win that cuts the Mets division lead down to 3.5, and another starting pitcher is injured. The Mets just put Carlos Carrasco on the injured list, and Taijuan Walker had to leave last night after just two innings with back spasms. Mets do have Max Scherzer on the mound tonight, Jacob DeGrom tomorrow, and those two aces are scheduled to next week face the Yankees, who lost again. Tampa Bay's Randy Arozarena killed the Yanks 2 years ago in the playoffs, hit a 3-run homer first inning off Nestor Cortez. It's all the Rays got or needed in a 3-1 win as Yanks bats again very quiet, only four hits. Even Aaron Judge is in hitting one for his last 14.
You never want to lose. You know, no one in here is happy about it. But, you know, having a little bit of a cushion helps, but that cushion can dwindle quick. So we gotta stay on top of it. And, you know, guys are putting the work in. Guys are coming up. They're showing up. They're doing their thing. So, you know, it's just about going out there on the field and performing.
Yanks have lost six of the last seven. Over those seven games, they've scored a total of only 9 runs. The Jets say Zach Wilson's knee surgery went well. It's possible the Jets QB could play the season opener. Tennis in Cincinnati. Serena Williams lost 6-4, 6-love to Emma Raducanu, who's half Serena's age. She's the defending U.S. Open champ. Serena now gets ready to come to New York for the Open, which she says will be the final tournament of her career. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's pension costs will rise by about $6 billion over the next three fiscal years. Inflation and fears of a recession have hammered the city's retirement plans. Five of the city's pension funds lost 8.6% for the fiscal year, the most since the financial crisis. Rockefeller Capital Management, the wealth and investment advisory firm that emerged from the Rockefeller's family office, plans to add as many as 115 wealth advisor teams in coming years as it expands through the U.S. The New York-based firm currently has 85 teams. More than a dozen were acquired this year. The pandemic has made parking in New York even tougher, with some New Yorkers shunning the subway during the COVID outbreak. One measure of car ownership in the city went up 224% in 2021. The work-from-home trend means many cars still aren't being moved at all, and dining sheds continue to eat up street space. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Ed, thanks a lot. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Amazon raising charges on third-party sellers during the holidays.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that a court order says 3M can't use bankruptcy to dodge the decisions of a federal judge preparing more than 200,000 earplug-related lawsuits for trial.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WGY in Albany, I'm reporting that workers at an Amazon warehouse near Albany are seeking to join a union.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on inflation hitting a new 40-year high in the UK as price rises hit double digits.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting a new owner plans to redevelop the long vacant Grossfield building.
And those are some of these stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. California teenagers can look forward to a welcome back-to-school gift when they return to class. More time to sleep. A new state law will require that all public high schools start classes at 8:30 a.m. or later. The shift has the potential to improve students' mental health and academic performance. As a rule, adolescents don't get enough sleep, and not just because they're avoiding it. Among many other physiological changes brought on by puberty, the body's circadian rhythms shift. That's why the American Academy of Pediatrics advocates pushing back school start times for adolescents. Places that have done so have seen gains in both students' sleep and their academic achievement. California's bold move could serve as a learning opportunity for other states. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we'll get you set up for the market day ahead with Joe Quinlan of Merrill and Bank of America Private Bank. S&P futures right now down 18 points. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures falling this morning as concerns over the Federal Reserve's aggressive rate hike path outweigh robust corporate earnings and China's stimulus plans. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 19 points. Dow futures down 104 and NASDAQ futures down 75. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 16/32nds, yield 2.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 16 cents at $86.69 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.10 at $17.87.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0175 against the dollar. British pound 1.21 and the yen 134.84. Looking at Bitcoin, it is down 0.6% at $23,838. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. One of former President Trump's most vocal Republican opponents has gone down to defeat. Liz Cheney lost the Republican primary to retain her seat in the House to Harriet Hageman, a rival backed by Trump, 66% to 23%. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski and her Trump-endorsed Republican rival Kelly Shibaka have advanced from Tuesday's primary. Meanwhile, Republican Sarah Palin was among the candidates advancing to the November general election in the race for Alaska's only House seat. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox and Orioles won. The Nationals lost. The A's and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Investors are awaiting the minutes of the Fed's latest, last policy meeting for clues on policymakers' path forward. Let's get you set up for the trading day now with Joe Quinlan, head of CIO Market Strategy for Merrill and Bank of America Private Bank. Joe, the question's almost obligatory at this point. Have we passed the peak in inflation? Does the weaker data signal the Fed's job is close to being finished?
Well, we've come a long ways with the Fed tightening cycle, John, but we're not done yet. We're still looking for the Fed to go 50 basis points again in September, 50 thereafter, and probably another 25 bits by the end of the year. And you got quantitative tightening. So the Fed's, it's not mission accomplished yet, albeit the inflation data looks like it's peaked, but it's going to plateau at a high level. So there's a lot of work to be done yet on the inflation front.
What do you expect to glean from the Fed minutes today?
Yeah, I think the key will be, who's hawkish, who isn't, the voting members. I think it's going to be pretty much uniform in the sense that they're not done. I mean, I think the Fed is going to signal to the markets they're going to be tough still yet, albeit the inflation numbers are improving. So I think it's going to be a little bit more on a hawkish tone and be uniform in that sense.
Company profits, they've encouraged an equity rebound from the June lows. Does it have legs at this point?
We think it does, but it's sector specific. And when you take out energy from the Q2 earnings, there was a lot of pain and a lot of red. But you saw Walmart, some of these other companies working through the inventories. It's going to be a sector by sector, company by company into the second half of this year. How do you manage the tight labor market, the rising input costs, the bottled supply chains? We're still looking for growth in earnings, but I do believe 23 earnings estimates are still too high, albeit they've come down, but they're a little bit too high yet.
And as far as retail sales today, that the figures we get this morning, what is the state of the U.S. consumer?
The state of the U.S. consumer, John, is okay, not great. I would say it's weakening a little bit here. Disposable income, real wages are declining. But they're using their credit card. They are in that post-pandemic mood. So they're out there spending. Back to school is coming. Christmas is ahead of us. So I think a consumer, if they don't have the income, they will go dip into their savings or use the credit card. So I think the consumer outlook is pretty solid, albeit it's not as robust as what this was, say, a year ago with all this pandemic spending that we saw.
All right. So given all that, what's the investment thesis that you're following?
We're buying the dips here, John. Opportunistically, when we get a pullback, whether it's technology, energy, we're stepping in and buying because if there is a recession or not, remember, when the U.S. comes out of a recession, it's typically stronger, and that's going to happen again. So we're buying. We're focused on the U.S. Buy the dips, buy quality, be diversified, own the intangibles of technology and the hard assets of energy, minerals, and metals.
So the rally that we've seen, not just a bear market rally, in your opinion?
No, I think we're putting in a bottom. It's going to be choppy, though. Remember, for lots of reasons, September is a very choppy month heading into the fourth quarter. So expect that volatility. We've had a nice glide upwards, but don't be fooled by that. Stay diversified, the quality, and I do think we're putting in this bear market bottom, but it's going to take some time yet. We're not out of the woods. You got China weakening, Europe's heading for recession, and the Fed's not done raising rates, so buckle up.
We get from a week from Friday the event that's held out west at Jackson Hole, the Fed symposium out there. What do you suppose we're going to hear out of that?
It's going to be interesting in terms of how does the Fed thread the needle of quantitative tightening? What's the terminal rate? I think the biggest issue is what's the path of future inflation? If we're at peak inflation, that's fine, but how fast does it come down? And is the Fed going to stick with that 2% target? That's going to be a key messaging point, the 2% target.
Joe, a pleasure as always. Joe Quinlan, head of CIO Market Strategy for Merrill Lynch and Bank of America Private Bank, with us this morning. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The emergency board, formed to prevent a strike against the nation's largest railroads, is recommending wage hikes and expanded health coverage for workers. Immigration activists filed a complaint in an Illinois court accusing LexisNexis of collecting personal information from consumers and selling it to corporations, law enforcement, and government agencies. A Jersey City, New Jersey ordinance restricting short-term housing rentals through services like Airbnb survived a legal test before the Third Circuit.
Bloomberg Law.
law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. The former head of the J.P. Morgan Chase & Company precious metals business and his top gold trader were convicted in Chicago on charges of fraud, spoofing, and market manipulation. It's a big victory for the government in its long crackdown on spoofing in the precious metals market, even though a third defendant, a salesman, was acquitted. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to James Park, a professor at UCLA Law School.
This is the highlight of the federal government's crackdown on spoofing in precious metals. How did they do, all in all?
I think they did very well. They initially got a settlement from J.P. Morgan, the institution, and they have also gotten a number of convictions, both through plea bargaining and also through jury trials. I think they're around 10 individuals who have pleaded guilty or been convicted, and you know, this is not just a case where they found the misconduct and they penalized J.P. Morgan, the corporation. There are a lot of commentators, scholars who have criticized federal prosecutors for not bringing the individual cases, not bringing cases against individuals for corporate wrongdoing. And this is a nice example where the government did bring cases against individuals and worked very hard to do so. And they've been successful in holding individuals accountable for corporate wrongdoing. It's not just the case that J.P. Morgan is paying a $900 million fine and agreeing to various reforms. You are actually punishing the individuals who have committed wrongdoing, and that is a more powerful deterrent than if you are just punishing a corporation that pays a large fine. So I think the government did very well in these cases.
This case sort of ends the prosecutions into spoofing in precious metals. What might be next?
You know, it's interesting to see whether these types of cases will also be brought in the crypto asset space. I think that's a space where there, you know, is a lot of potential for spoofing and manipulating markets. And several years ago, the Department of Justice did announce that it was going to be looking into manipulative practices in crypto asset markets. And so it'll be interesting to see whether the success in commodities markets or more traditional commodity markets will then essentially be translated into cases in Bitcoin and other crypto asset markets, which are potentially very vulnerable to manipulation. So it'll be interesting to see what comes next out of these efforts.
And that's James Park, a professor at UCLA Law School, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading this show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down about 24 points. Dow futures down 127 at NASDAQ. Futures down to 97. 10-year Treasury down 18 32nds, yield 2.86%. And the yield on the 2-year is at 3.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 48 cents at $87.01 a barrel. And the euro 1.0181 against the dollar. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.